Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you for listening to the show, subscribing on iTunes, wherever you listen, Stitcher, your Android device, aboutlastnightpodcast.com, wherever you're getting the show. Man, we love it. We appreciate it. Give it that five-star rating, baby. What are you doing right now? Are you looking at the iTunes page? Go to the iTunes page, type in About Last Night, and give us a five-star rating right now. And comment on the iTunes page, all right? That's how we can climb the charts and continue to bring you guys great shows. Helps us climb in the podcast ranks. Makes us feel good, too. Reading your guys' comments are the best. We're going to start doing that. Start next week reading some of your live comments from the iTunes page and giving you guys shout-outs. So leave us something dope, and we'll give you a shout-out. Today's episode is, every now and then, you get to interview a comic that you genuinely are in awe of and that you really, just am a fan of. She's been on At Midnight, Chelsea Lately, Jimmy Kimmel, Conan O'Brien. Boy, Jesus, I mean, countless comedy festivals, countless just big comedy club weekend dates. She's written for a lot of cool shit, and she's the chillest fucking person you'll meet and play air hockey with in Fort Collins, Colorado, which is what we did, and we'll talk about it. I'm talking about Beth Stelling, baby, the one and only Beth Stelling. You know her. If you don't know her, you're going to know her after this, and you're going to love her. Beth came by. We talked about, man, her start in Ohio, how she approaches her writing, which was incredibly fascinating for me because, again, I'm a big fan of her joke writing, her TV appearances, her dad's crazy costume business. Talk about an upbringing with parents that did interesting shit. What her dad, I can't even totally break it down, but her dad has the coolest job I've ever heard of. And we talked about it a lot because it was hilarious and amazing. And Beth didn't spare any detail. She's the best. You're going to hear big things from this girl very soon. So follow her on Twitter at Beth Stelling. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. This weekend, Brad Williams will be in Denver, Colorado, baby, at Comedy Works South. That's one of the best clubs in the country. January 27th through the 30th, Brad Williams, Comedy Works South in Denver, Colorado. If you're in Denver, go see Brad. If you're in Colorado, go see him. Get there somehow. Where am I going to be? Well, I'm going to be in Los Angeles for the next few weeks, so check AdamRayTV.com. I'm at the Comedy Store Improv Laugh Factory 3-4 nights a week, the HaHa North Hollywood, the Ice House in Pasadena, all my dates at AdamRayTV.com. So if you want to come see me live in the next few weeks, come out and do it. Got a lot of new material I'm working on. I'm really pumped about it. Getting ready to continue to shape the hour, baby. I'm going to try to put out an hour special here in the next year. That's the plan. So come out and see me live. Come out and see me put this thing together. And hopefully lay it down in the fall, man. That's the plan. Ideally, I'd like to do it back home in Seattle. That's the plan. So we'll see what happens. So again, come out and see me. All my live tour dates, AdamRayTV.com. But February 12th through the 14th, Valentine's Day weekend, I'm going to be in New York City, baby, headlining Gotham Comedy Club for the first time. It's an amazing room. It's in New York. It's New York City fucking headlining, man. For my first time, I'm very pumped. February 12th to the 14th, Valentine's Day weekend. Get your tickets for that at AdamRayTV.com or GothamComedyClub.com. And of course, when you're coming to these shows, bring your ALN merch, man. Shirts, mugs, hats, posters, all at estoymerchandise.com. Estoymerchandise.com is where you can get all of your ALN merch. Bring it to the shows, baby. We'll sign it for you. Your shirts, your hats, your mugs, your posters. Estoymerchandise.com. That's how you can support the pod, man. Spread the word to the masses with your shirts and all your fucking merch. Come on, it's great. It's good shit. What are you going to buy, FUBU? FUBU's not even around anymore. God, what an old man thing. What are you going to get, FUBU? There isn't even FUBU to get anymore. Fucking FUBU kids. Wow, FUBU kids, by the way, is a band I would for sure go see. It's also a snack that I would eat if I were stoned. FUBU kids, it's like the new Dunkaroos. Anyway, bring your merch to the shows. Come see us live. And, of course, follow the About Last Night Twitter page at ALN Podcast. At ALN Podcast. It's also at ALN Podcast on Instagram. And like our pictures and follow our updates and all that bullshit. Now that we got the merch info out of the way, those are the tour dates. Those are the Twitter handles. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night Podcast with the amazing and hilarious Beth Stelling.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Yeah, I love it in here. You got a nice vibe.
Thanks.
Also, I'm so jealous of the Robin Williams photo. I was in the same room with him at Meltdown, and I didn't say anything, and I lost him growing up.
Yeah, that's if I had the one thing that I could go back and save in the fire, you know, it would be, even though I have it saved online, I would still grab the picture with me and Robin Williams, just be like, yeah. Like, that would be absolutely be the thing.
Yeah, that was, I mean, he was,
maybe my girlfriend if she can't walk, but, yeah. I mean, first... The Robin Williams picture, absolutely.
I know. I love.
He was it for you growing up? I mean, just
yeah, it was him and Jim Carrey.
I mean,
are
you the female Adam Ray? Because
yeah. I mean, when we find out we're meant to be together.
Yeah. I mean, she does have nice hair, Adam Ray.
She does have nice hair.
That's a prerequisite. Yeah,
yeah. Got to have a good head of hair. Got to know the Fraggle Rock theme song.
Oh, I watched that growing up for sure, but I don't know if I know the theme song.
Neither do I. Okay. But I think Brad. I think, that's a weird thing to say because I don't think anybody knows the lyrics.
Brad, don't tell anybody that again.
Yeah, hey Brad, could you just fucking? I think what Brad means is you know the melody to it.
Yeah, maybe. Right? I mean, I watched it every morning waiting for sure. School. But okay. I wonder if I know the.
I'm just trying to say if there is a love connection. I do know my friend, and I do know what he likes in a woman, and
in its hair.
Yeah, in its hair. And now, do you know what are your thoughts on the Goo Goo Dolls?
Oh man, I was never attracted to that man.
Okay, Adam. I don't know if you're okay with this. I don't know.
You love the Goo Goo Dolls?
No, I actually. Find them. I find a couple of their songs very enjoyable.
Listen,
that's about it.
If I could think of a few, I would.
Can
we just name one? Is Google it Angels? Song? There's one that has to do with angels.
That's
hell yeah.
You mean the song Iris from the City of Angels soundtrack?
Yes. Okay.
There
it is. Okay, thank you.
I mean, that's all
you need to know. It's almost like when a girl isn't into sports, but she's like, yeah, like I get the. I like to go where I understand the game enough. It's like, cool. Yeah. You don't have to know the stats and the players.
I'd rather not. Yeah, I mean, of course. Wouldn't you rather be with someone who wasn't pretending to know about all the sports, but would say, hey, I'm up for it. I'll go and enjoy myself.
Exactly.
Is that how you are with sports?
Yeah. I'll get into it.
You played, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. Like, I dated a guy in Chicago when I lived there, and he loved the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
So we got – it was a year when they made it – I think they won the Stanley Cup, actually. So we watched every game.
Did that against the Ducks. I went to go see some of those playoff games. You know, thanks for bringing up old,
so
very,
sorry.
Very painful memories.
They were enjoyable for us.
All right. if you guys want to enjoy the time of the podcast together, I'm going to...
Whoa, Brad. Whoa, he's leaving.
Jesus.
God damn it. Can we play... See, now this would be the appropriate time to play the Goo Goo Dolls' Irish song, because it's sad.
How's come it go?
It goes, and I don't want the world to see me.
Just cover
Patrick
Kane.
Because I don't think they understand.
Jesus Christ.
When everything's meant to be broken, I just want you to know who I am.
Okay,
that
guys.
That was our first harmony.
Okay, guys. What did I miss?
What did you guys talk about? Somebody went on a rant.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry. I said.
Those were some fun games, honestly, to watch. Let's be real. It was a good play.
They were. Yeah. Hockey for me is way better live. I can't watch it on TV.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's
more fun. There's a greater presence of drunk Canadians, which are always, I think, the best kind of Canadians.
I feel weird admitting it, but it's like, I mean, does everybody live for the fights or what?
Yes.
I want more fights in every sport, honestly.
I mean,
it seems like
if they could add fights to women's gymnastics,
right.
I would be like all about that.
Now, because it would be the exact exact opposite of what's happening. They barely touch each other.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah, and they
hover
do like
around
that
one another.
Yeah, they You're do right. like that beauty pageant hug the where it's like I'm forced to hug you, but I really don't want to.
Yeah, it's a nice hug.
That was my first sport for the longest time, kindergarten through sixth.
Okay,
I was a gymnast, which is I blame being a late bloomer on that. I didn't grow my boobs until college.
Oh, and you think that's because of gymnastics?
I blame it on that.
For real?
I've started trying to tell a new joke about it, actually.
The
where
unitard
I say,
just is basically just saying like,
well, they say that when you work out that hard and you do all that conditioning and training, it will affect your what is it? I guess growth plates or something like that.
Sure.
For sure, yeah.
So either way, yes. And then I don't know why, but think about it. Not that many gymnasts have nice big titties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think about it.
I do
all the time.
I lived
Dominique Mociano.
Yeah, I lived it.
Yeah.
So I guess it's like a little bit of a stunted growth, but also,
for sure.
I don't know, it delays puberty.
Yeah.
Maybe from all the physical activity.
And on the flip side, male gymnasts, huge wings.
Right.
From the age of 7 and 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just like, they can't stop growing dicks.
Some of them, up to 2, really. I've been trying to tell a joke where because like my mom would drop me off with this guy, like my coach, 3 times a week, and I trained intensely, and he had a mustache, and I like would do anything to make him proud, you know.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you're a gymnast when you're young because you're unaware of the many ways that your neck can break. You know, some guy is just like
some guys like
get up there on the thing, and you're like, anything for you.
Yeah,
you know,
you have that. There's something so great that we lose when we get older.
Yes.
As a kid, of that competitive like. Unbridled, just like energy.
You
to
climb it, I'll climb it higher.
Of course,
dude. I tour and I went to the Syracuse Funny Bone, and they have this one of these ropes courses in that giant mall there.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'm totally doing that. And I go up on the ropes course, and you're like 30-40 feet high.
Shit.
Granted, you're on a tether, so if you fall, it will catch you.
Yeah,
but. As an adult, you know, like, but I don't want to test that.
Yeah.
I don't. But then I see kids, like, I'm, like, slowly taking steps, and these kids are, like, running across and, like,
right.
like jumping Fearless. Off on purpose.
No bounds.
It's nuts.
We had a rope in the gym from, obviously, floor to ceiling, and this is a huge warehouse that we would – I climbed that rope attached to nothing, dung a bell, and then came down.
Yeah.
I didn't like you. Don't just let it slide. You you climbed up.
Right.
That was part of our training.
Right. And
I mean, if I fell, I would have absolutely died.
But the coach and they just
I
have
mean,
to
and
go.
He could have caught us because we were small women. So he could have like.
Right.
Caught
sure.
Us.
But then now you're putting it in his arms in
right.
God's hands.
I mean, did my mom sign a waiver? I'm just so cute.
Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe it's just so fun and it's getting you out of the house.
Yeah. I've been trying to tell a joke where I say that I'm a late bloomer so that my coach wouldn't be tempted. But no one
well,
bites.
Well, I mean, he did show all the telltale signs.
Yeah.
I mean, he runs a business that literally parents drop off prepubescent girls to his place. He had the mustache, like you said.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you're looking for things that qualify him,
how
so maybe you saw that and was like, I'm going to give him no motivation.
Wait, you were saying no bites, meaning no one's getting the joke yet?
Yeah, no, they'll kind of chuckle, but they just get upset with pedophilia, and then I say, I get it. It's a
why do people
subject.
Get so upset?
It's
with
a touchy
pedophilia.
Subject.
That's a little too jokey.
Sorry,
no.
I stepped on your joke.
No,
I'm sorry. That was a great joke.
Yeah,
touchy
no,
subject.
No,
that's
but
fantastic.
Yes, or I'll say, this one never hits either. Like you have to be careful with pedophilia jokes because you can actually just catch pedophilia by touching a kid. So.
I think that's funny.
It is funny, but nobody likes it.
Do you now? What do you do in that case? Because you are a brilliant joke writer.
Thanks.
The first joke I heard yours was I think it was on Pete Holmes or Conan when you said I'm originally from Ohio. If I butcher it, you can just say okay.
I like this try.
Yeah, it is fun to hear other people try to do jokes because they never, ever get it right.
And you're sitting there like, I'm right here.
Yeah,
I have the tools.
But it is fun to listen, like because there is like a flattering feeling to it to see somebody try it because they do.
Yeah.
So you said I'm originally from Ohio, and what's great is that a lot of people from Ohio don't realize is that you can put all of your stuff in a bag. And leave.
Yeah.
Which is so funny and so...
That's it. You did it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I think that's something...
You did it, she said.
Yeah. I think that's something we all think when we tour is we see these cities. We're like, people live here.
Yeah. Well, then you have to... For the longest time early touring, though, it was always like, are these people going to like me? And why wouldn't, I mean, we're just, it's just another town, but I, that was like always one of my biggest fears when I first started doing new venues I'd never been to before. It was always like, are these people going to like me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's a natural thing.
It is.
I think some people show up and they're just like, you're going to love me.
Everything about me is great. But when you, but like with that joke with the touchy subject thing, like when you, this is a two-part question. Mm-hmm. I want to know how you
recover.
How do you deal with it?
Yeah.
How do you, first of all, just come, like, write jokes? Like, do you have a sit down, like, 2 hours a day? I write.
Or I wish.
Yeah, I know, right? It's not. It's never that way. At least.
I was touring with Jess Lenick, and he said for a while he was doing 3 jokes a day. So I would wake up and try to do that too.
Wow.
And it works. Like, yeah. You're not going to get 3 jokes a day, but you're going to get two a week at most.
Yeah.
Getting your brain into
that mode of, okay, time to write, you'll eventually come up. I mean, you won't be batting 1,000%, but you'll get a hit every now and then.
No, but then I only did it for so long. So I would do it. You're forcing yourself to just put something out.
Yeah.
Whereas before I was doing nothing. So basically, mine is so based off of my life, I just kind of, but I have this joke where I say my feelings are like a studio album. They don't come out until like 11 months after the events that inspired them. So I feel like my jokes are so much about my life, but it's like takes a minute. Like, I'm not just going to be like right away joking about certain things. I mean, yeah. I have.
And you like when you said like the audience, if they didn't get, like, do you like that they won't totally get something and then you kind of,
yeah, I think
you don't want to spoon feed them anything, right?
No.
And you're like, cause you know, sometimes, and I think Jim Carrey did say this, actually, where he said, don't ever try to, like, do what they think is fun. Like, do what you think is funny, and that's why you're going to end up finding your voice and your style.
And it might take a while, but, yeah, totally. Whenever somebody's like, oh, what should I do? I'm like, just do what you think is funny. Mm-hmm. I started in Chicago, and I have, like, it was never a bad situation. I had a lot of dudes I'm still friends with there. But, you know, it was me, and it felt like two other women in the whole scene. For a while, it felt like that.
That's about the odds, unfortunately, in any town where it's just like, okay, so we have the two girls that do stand up.
Yeah, and it felt like that. And there's more and more now.
Yeah.
But I remember, too, them just saying to me, like, some of them, not all, would just give me a hard time. Like, you whisper your punchlines. We can't hear you, Beth. You know, because I would never, I'd never slam over my jokes over somebody's head. Now I'm a little more lively and closer to myself. But even if you watch my Conan, which was when I was 26, it's like, I don't hate watching it, but I'm just different.
Yeah.
I watch that and I'm like, it's like, does she have a heartbeat? You know what I mean? And then you watch Pete Holmes a couple years later and I'm like, sure, a little more myself.
Yep.
You know, so you just, nothing teaches you how to do stand up on TV except for doing stand up on TV.
Yeah, that's the,
you're not going to stand in here in front of your mirror and be like, well, okay, this is it.
Well, okay, you're making fun of how I approach my act.
I knew you did that and I just wanted to make it.
Can I be honest? I did do that the first 2 years because I was so, the actor in me was so concerned.
Rehearse.
Yeah, gotta rehearse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also, like, I never did that for any plays or anything, but like for that, I was so much more concerned with, like, you know, what my face looked like for a certain punchline.
Sure.
It was like, because I thought that was an important thing of selling the whole, you know, which, you know, now looking back was crazy.
I think I, early on, maybe, who knows, 07, 08, I do remember sitting in front of my computer and doing it like a set that I was doing later that night, a 7-minute set.
Yeah.
And I watched it back. And honestly, I think that was the last time I did that. Now, of course, I've watched a late night, like, can I send that to JP?
Sure.
Or can I,
sure,
you know what I mean? But,
well, and that's,
I don't enjoy sitting there and being like, let's tinker.
Yeah. And that's like one of the greatest things about stand up and worst things is that you can't practice.
No.
There's no practice in stand-up. Like, you can't stand in front of your mirror and do it exactly how you would do and have the exact same reactions that you would when you do it in front of an audience. You do have to get up there and actually do it, which, like I said, I love and I hate. I love that it's that in order to do this business, you have to have the stones to actually get up in front of an audience and do it live. But
I would do it in front of the mirror and then get up that night and it would be completely different than what I practiced.
Check out,
right.
Yeah. And if anybody who auditions or you guys, when you audition, it's this, I'll plan something. I'll get in there and it's like, well, that's not what I planned.
No. Because the moment is way different than the prep.
You can never prepare. And not to mention, If you really wanted, I would. We should make an app that's like for young comics. So you just be like, "You're a cunt," you're just like yelling stuff, and then you have to react to it.
What a great idea!
Wow, so like a comic training app, yeah. like you just like. Yeah, so someone just hits the button. Not funny.
A drop of a glass.
Yeah,
there's always all these sound effects.
Yeah, right. Or like whenever it picks up, it would be able to pick up a buzz, like a hack word, and be like, everybody talks about that. You know what I mean?
So like, I was on this flight, and man, the airline food.
I mean, we joke.
Try again.
And then you have to respond to it. And I think, well, we joked about not too long ago about there being like a Nintendo game, like a Mario Brothers type game, but for stand-up comedy. So it's like you get this character, and they have to go to these open mics and like deal with like all the – and you get like levels and levels. And like, you know, a King Koopa would be like a booker that you're trying to impress.
Right.
That you have to like have good small talk with in the final level.
Yeah. And
but they have like white forming around the corners of their mouth.
Yeah. And he's like, well, we would give you your bonus, but you are three tickets short.
I know.
And how do you handle it?
Damn it?
And it gives you two options, like press A to just say, oh good, looking forward to coming back, or B, you know, start a fight.
Eat a dick.
I had that happen to me recently where
a
guy came up and was like, and the worst part was he was laughing about it. He was like, oh my God, you would not realize you were four people short.
Don't you feel of like hitting that this bonus. Lying? Don't
of
you feel
course
like
he's lying? Lying. And even if he's not, hey, maybe not the entire bonus, but if I'm four people
that's
short,
what I'm saying.
Maybe half?
That's what how I feel. It was like, oh, man.
Something.
Just sold out four out of the six. And I'm like, but he had said in the whatever in the deal, it's like a certain one of the two late shows,
yeah.
Essentially the ones that are obviously hard to get people out to.
Right.
But I'm going to sell out four out of the six, and you're telling me you're not going to give me anything, not even one?
Nothing. Well, you didn't sell any tickets for the Sunday morning at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
show. And you know what? That's the bread and butter of this establishment.
The 3 p.m. kids show was not packed.
Some might say that you say cunt too much. I mean, you know, I'm just telling what I read on the internet. But, you know, so.
I think what you're doing is a character, sure. But
maybe next time you just build some, you know, just keep coming back and build yourself up in this market. Like I did. I sold out four fucking shows.
Yes, I know. And that's so hard to do. It's so hard to do over a period of time, you know? And then when you finally do it, you're like, oh, I'm not, I hope something happens between now and the next time they want to book me where I'm like, oh, actually I'm doing a theater. Eat a dick,
yeah.
Bitch.
I know, right? That's what you think about that when you do a club. You're just like, oh, these guys.
Hey, yeah. How many conversations do you have in your head? After a weekend,
yeah,
where you see the amount of food and beverage going in and out,
yes.
Going, all right, I know what you charge for those drinks, so that's 20, 40, 60, 80. That's $180 on that one plate.
You're short four waitresses, so I know that you're not paying them
much
out.
Yeah, yeah,
it's just how it, and it, but it's just one of those things too that where you just go, that's how.
Yeah.
Like I have to. There's parts of this business that there's a game you have to play.
Yeah,
and I think you don't have to. You know, I'm not saying you have to. You know, kiss ass to everybody.
No.
And once I had gotten a big debate with a buddy of mine who was an improv actor about this, and he just was like, man, you're out there hustling this and that, and how do you just like, there's a lot, he was just like, there's so many piece of shit people and bad people. I was like, yeah, man, but I don't have to kiss their ass, but I can still be a nice person and like come talk, you know, speak, come from a genuine place and have an exchange with them to where I'm not. You know, he's like, yeah, but you mean these people, and like, if they're, you know, if they've done something bad to somebody, I'm like, yeah, well, you kind of like deal with them on your own accord, and there are pieces where you have to, like, you know, doing a weekend, you're like, you see, like, oh God, they're making so much more money, but like,
yes.
I gotta just do my job here and know that like I'm laying the ground for a bigger payoff.
I agree with you, but also, how about looking back? I've looked back at clubs, what they pay me now versus when I first did the club, and I'm like.
Mm-hmm.
Rotten hell. Like, I know how much you made then because you gave me, like, I got just so
you paid me
over,
you paid me $250 for five shows, and I was thankful.
And I was so thrilled at the time.
I was like, oh my God, I could get it. I could pay for one night at a hotel.
I know.
This is so great.
Do you like the road?
I do. I think I'm a teensy bit more selective.
Yeah.
You know, I consider myself a road warrior. I've made it happen.
I've
stayed in the freaking Funny Bone condo, pulled back the bed, and there was one long black hair and a piece of hay. You know what I mean? Wait, I've handled it.
This sounds like a Final Fantasy level. What? No?
Which funny bone was
it? Yeah. It was like a damp bed.
Columbus one?
The bed was damp. Newport on the levee. Yeah. This is years ago. I was opening for Tom Segura.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I pulled back the bed. Not only was it damp. Yeah, so not pee or anything, just, you know, that dampness from opening.
That dampness from
it's almost worse.
Yeah.
That damp dew is almost worse than pee.
Yeah, because it's everywhere. Sure. Everything's got a dew.
That was semen. let's be honest with ourselves. It wasn't the damp dew. That was semen.
One damp dew. Well, damp dew.
Damp dew is a fancy way of saying semen. He damp dewed all over my face.
Brett gave Charlene a damp dew.
God, nobody wants to be on the receiving end of that.
That seems like that seems like the Urban Dictionary definition for like cum in the hair. A damp dew.
Yeah.
That, you know.
I have always said, you know, bachelorette parties are always like dick themed, but I think they should be cum themed. You know,
ooh,
with a real wet look.
So funny.
A wet look.
Everybody's just like. Look back.
So,
wet tees and everything.
Yeah. So instead of like instead of like straws that are shaped like dicks, like they all have like little mini super soakers,
exactly.
And so like they like do a couple shots
that's
in the face.
That's a fucking bachelorette party.
There you go.
It's way cooler too.
Yeah.
Right? And you have water guns.
Yes.
Just better.
Does it make everybody answer this honestly? When you still see in 2016 bachelorette parties with like dick hats or dick straws or just like hanging out with a bunch of guys that park their Hummers in handicapped spots. You know, like hanging out with dicks.
Out
like
of
just
date.
Exactly, right? There's...
Yeah, out of date.
It's like, get with the times.
I agree.
I think they should all just have their phones out, and on the phone screen the entire time should be the most recent dick pic that, that they have been sent.
I've gotten some just straight up on my Comedian page on Facebook.
What?
Yeah, I've gotten a man named Paul from Tennessee...
Shots fired, Paul.
Yeah, Paul, if you're listening, dude, put it away.
His dick, and
with any sort of. Because I'm curious.
It looked like he had hit his thumb with a hammer.
That is the worst way to describe a dick.
His sack was so taut. I know how hard he was pulling up on it. Do you know what I mean? To make it look bigger.
Yep.
Which is a move, and that's fine.
That's
fine. Like, let's meet us in the middle.
Yeah.
Because a sack is not meant to be that taut. Some of them are tighter than others, but this was like a hard pull up.
Is that something that women look
notice?
For in their penises? The
educate
tautness,
us, please, Beth.
The tautness of one sack.
Yeah, you don't want a super droopy ball, but if it's gonna happen, it's
super
there.
Droopy ball.
If it's
you don't
there,
want damn
there.
Do or super droopy balls.
No.
it's the worst Saturday morning cartoon lineup show ever.
Damn
dick and super droopy balls.
No, damp do. Yeah.
Damp
do. Oh, super droopy balls.
And I'm damp do.
All right, damp do. Let's go try to get our ball out of old man Peterson's yard.
Yeah, it's always just really like terrible excursions.
I just wrote back after like 2 weeks. I wrote back, gross. And he wrote,
I love he gave it 2 weeks.
Yeah,
he thought about it.
Because I was like, should I write anything back? And I was like, and then I just
think
probably
you have
had
to.
A drink or two. And I was like, gross.
Yeah.
And he wrote back, doubt it. I'm like, Paul, you have to doubt it.
Yeah.
You got to respect that he stuck to his guns.
I
like the woman just flat out called the most intimate part of your body. And probably the part of your body you take the most pride in. You showed her that, and she went, gross.
Wait, now, was there any sort of opening statement, or was it just dick pic? Like, did he say?
It was just straight up freaking dick pic in my inbox.
Oh, God. See, that's the part
I'll
I don't understand.
Show you later,
but I guess, you know what?
Later.
Like, you know, and I have not sent one.
Ever?
I got close.
Wait
once.
A minute.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You've never sang
no.
your penis.
I got close. I started shaping it up in the phone.
I felt like you. I feel like. And I don't mean a,
no,
I don't mean
and
a
I,
skank. I'm saying I felt like. I mean, you get women.
Listen.
But I guess it's
but
not
Adam
a
Ray.
Dick pic.
I'm old fashioned.
He's old fashioned.
I was single mom. I just.
Yeah.
She didn't teach me to do it.
When women ask.
Maybe that's the only reason why.
When women ask, Adam drives to their house.
These men
feel,
days, their moms do teach them how
know,
to do it.
I know.
Yeah.
We're living in a different world.
My mom taught me the proper lighting.
I guess. You know what it is? I have. Maybe I do have more confidence in my face to face game.
Yeah. Well,
but also, I don't think. I think and not to like judge, because I think I know dudes who are good friends of mine who are good people.
Yeah.
That send,
of course.
So I'm not saying sending a dick pic is a reflection of who you are. But
you're sitting next to one right now.
That's what I'm referring to. But what I'm saying is that like I think on a certain level, it does take a special part. I think it's also the act. Even when I tried to like even sure. do it, I was like, I saw outside of myself, and I was yeah. like,
I think, for example, just mm-hmm. out of nowhere, I have never done cocaine. I feel like this point,
me neither.
I'm just like, I never will. I don't want to. I don't need to. It's like, you'll never send a dick pic. You don't want to. You don't need to. It's just one of those things where I'm like, I think I'm past it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Also, leave some mystery. I feel like that's a fun reveal for everybody.
I think so too. Looking at a guy's dick especially for the first time is looking like it's like looking at the sun. You're like, I don't know. Should I do it?
See, and guess what? I always want that reaction.
It's okay.
I always want that reaction. I want.
Was this off or not? You give them that thrill.
Yeah,
they've never seen it.
And you know, good for you, Adam, because I think the worst part of sending a dick pic from the guy's perspective is once you've taken the picture, you then have to look at the picture and judge and see if this picture is worthy, like if this is good enough. So you're like looking at the picture like, all right, does it look big enough? Does it look
right?
And you're staring
that you're not gonna see too,
sure, because you know it's just like
it's tough. You look at it all the time.
It's like when you can't find the mayonnaise in the fridge and then you're like, mom, it's not there. And then she's like, let me give it a mom look, and she goes back and she finds it.
He's always bringing this dick stuff back to his mom.
I mean, Adam's got a couple of issues, but we didn't talk about that.
My mom did buy me condoms when I was 16.
And your mom bought you condoms?
Yeah.
Well,
because she goes, look, she goes, and I was like, A, I'm fucking flattered. You think that it's happening already.
Yeah.
But B, I was just like, what, did you just pull a dick?
I found it.
Oh, God, no.
I found it.
No.
That was so.
That is a thumb.
I didn't see everything.
He did say you're hot, and I just wrote, like, this was when I had probably zero messages, and I wrote thank you, and he said you're welcome, and then
dick
cut to 2 months later, try me .. and then his dick, and it's so upsetting.
That is like so, okay when you
so
said
I did write thank you, which arguably it's like sometimes I'll respond to people because I'm like, oh, that's nice, maybe they saw something. Yeah. Sometimes I will, but I, you can tell I'm not like. I love how I'm proving like I wasn't asking for it. Like, see, I wasn't wearing anything small. I didn't say anything.
I didn't comment on his picture wearing pants that have ducks on them and say, like, wonder what's under the ducks.
No!
You're visibly shaken by that.
I know. When I got it.
How many do you get? And you're a pretty girl. So how many? It's got to be not fun to just get dicks in your inbox all the time.
Unsolicited.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those people who's super sensitive, like, how dare you?
Sure.
This is so wrong.
It's a part of the, it's a part of the world.
I got that, and I was just like, that's pretty much the description.
But if it was the exact opposite, would you have been like, okay?
Yeah, I would have been like, okay, cool. I don't mind. Like, in fact, what's not interesting about seeing a new penis? Like, I find
that's why we brought you.
They're all different.
I mean, I think
we've been asking 6 or 7 guests, and no one asked the right answer.
Because think about it, you know, vaginas are all different.
Sure.
If you can check out a new one, why not? Just to see what it's like. Oh, boobies are all different.
Boobies are all different.
Cool, licking at these boobies and these.
Hey, how about these boobies?
All these
how about
dicks?
This boob?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like this is the sequel to Everybody Poops.
It's all boobies are different.
All boobies are different. All vaginas are different. Mm-hmm. All dicks are different.
I'm trying to think. I'm a serial dater. I call myself a Tarzan dater. Like before I let go of this dick, I'm swinging to the next dick. So,
there's
only a brief period of time where you can catch me, but.
And Phil Collins always did my soundtrack.
You'll be in my heart. You'll be in my heart.
I just picture you like doing like ski poles and like while Phil Collins is playing.
Well, that was the music video. You didn't see it?
Oh my God. Someone has to do that.
So I do get a decent. And also, I'm on the road a ton. I feel like I'm always in a long distance relationship. So I feel like pictures are getting exchanged a lot.
Yeah. Yes. Wait. And so have you always been? Yeah. Have
dicks. Nudes.
Sure.
You know what I mean.
Nudes, dicks, nudes. Is a sporting store that will open somewhere in the Midwest.
Nudes, dicks, nudes.
It's like, I know I saw your tits yesterday, but what do they look like now?
That's funny.
What do they look like right now?
So have you always the serial dating just couldn't.
Yeah. You know what?
Did you have one relationship early that you were like?
Recently more a bad situation, but most before that, it was like, I dated good dudes, and mm-hmm. I think
But were you over it early, is what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, Yes, I guess. Yeah. I think so. My long distance relationship, I have that guy, that my Ohio boyfriend I was with in my mm-hmm. first 3 years living here. So that was long distance for 3 years.
I did it. I did it to New York.
Yeah. So
crazy,
yeah.
right?
And now I started dating another comic in New York. So it's like, I have a joke about this with potheads that you've heard, and yes, I just changed it. Basically, I said, you know, if you're in a long distance relationship, they can't leave if they're already gone.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I'm like,
so sad and true.
Yeah, and we're gone all the time anyway. Yes. Yeah. So I here's what happens, I think, and I really like the guy I'm dating. Seeing
he's him. The best.
But it's like we start dating. And I just, we're out, like, as comics, we're pretty open, especially mm-hmm. me and my life. And I'm charming and funny and nice. And so it's like, I love you. And then I'm like, I must too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's what happens. Right. And then I grow to love them. Mm-hmm. So I, like, really pushed on this one harder because I had just gotten out of a bad relationship. Yes. And I was like, yeah. I don't know. I shouldn't. I just give them some time alone.
Mm-hmm. So you lead with your heart and less than your brain.
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
That was so, on the fortune cookie.
I don't regret anything. And he's a wonderful man who
of
I'm
course.
Dating now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I just am sort of, I did it again. You know, I'm in a relationship again.
And
like, serial monogamous.
And you're in the honeymoon period right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's been about 6 months or something.
Yeah.
But he's all the way over there. I'm not moving there.
So, but you know what they're saying is just constant dick pics.
Yes, all the time.
Well, tell me this, because when I did long distance three times, right? Mm-hmm. Once she was Santa Barbara College while I was at USC. So mm-hmm. it was like an hour and a half, 2 hours. That was, you know, feasible. Then Seattle to, or I'm sorry, then New York to LA, then Seattle to LA.
Okay.
And for me, it wasn't ever planned. Like, I let myself fall for these women, and then they end up being in different places. And love gets you through about a year and a half in my eyes. And there was ways. Skype came along for the last one, which was great.
Yeah.
And then a lot of phone calls. But it's like you have to have
the phone.
And also we made the mistake in one of them by not doing like the sexy. And you got to do that stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Just,
you have to find other ways other than phones, whatever it is,
yeah.
to just remind, you know, just like, oh, we're still in this, because that distance really can create.
Yeah. And if you make the decision in your head that you're starting to pull away, I mean, the other person can sense it, but it's so easy.
Yeah.
Because it's not just like, I'll pick you up and then you don't show up.
Yeah.
It's like, let's talk later. Oh, I'm tired. I'm just going to go to bed.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sure.
Times three, times four.
Yeah.
So, I was at Sketchfest this weekend, and I
had
never met John Fugelsang before. He's a radio guy on Sirius.
Okay.
But he has a show, did his show, and the theme that you had to talk about was the future of technology for better or for worse.
Awesome.
So, of course, I talked about what I use to keep my relationship. So, mm-hmm. I mean, and not to get all, it's not deep at all, but it's saying, like, essentially the thing that I use to stay the most connected with one person is making me disconnected from everyone else.
I know.
So the phone is like the old, like, sunglasses, hat, and newspaper. You know what I mean? No one's really, I keep myself away from it. So in the beginning, like you said, it's like, I love you and we're texting and it's fun. And then after a while, you're like, oh no, throw this off.
Oh yeah.
Fucking cliff.
Oh, it got to a point when I saw her name call, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I just talked to you 3 weeks ago.
You want more conversations? We're on twice a month basis now.
I posted a picture of you on Instagram and said I love you.
Everybody
what
knows.
More do you need? Everybody knows. Yeah.
Why do I need to keep servicing?
Yes, I know. So that's the tough. That is the tough part.
It is a balance.
Yeah, I want to Gallagher my phone sometimes.
Gallagher.
He's one of my biggest inspirations. I mentioned that. I'm just kidding.
Hey, let's talk about that. Maybe Gallagher, maybe, or are you more a Carrot Top girl?
I'm a Carrot Top girl.
Okay, yeah, I mean, so, and we all have our sides. It's kind of like Bloods and Crips.
Exactly. It's exactly like that.
Carrot Tops.
I think when you and Thomas Dale and I went to Colorado, mm-hmm. which was a blast.
It was so fun.
And that for me, like, colleges, I mostly do by myself. I think most of us do, right? You do them, and then, but when you get packaged together.
Very hit or miss.
Very hit or miss. And it can be a game changer when you have buddies.
Yes.
I mean, like that.
That was, like, we'll always remember that because it was so nice.
So nice. It was and we both knew Thomas, but didn't know each other.
Yeah.
Andrew Santino had introduced us to the improv.
Yes.
Which for me was like, when you know somebody really well, which both of us do with Andrew, and then they go, hey, I love both of you. You're great. I immediately was just like, and just what I'd heard about you and seen. And then when he brought us, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to love this girl.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, and especially mostly because for college gigs, for people who aren't in the world of stand up, like we said, it's usually you just fly out by yourself, and then your sort of tour guide is like the ASB president, who is
Or student activities.
Student activities, whatever that is, and they're just with you the entire time. And I mean, I'm 32 now. I don't have much to talk about with a 19-year-old, 20-year-old college kid.
Sometimes I'll just lose $200 to rent a car.
Yeah.
Just so I don't have to get picked up by somebody I don't know.
Just fuck it. I don't want that awkward conversation of like, so like...
So did Smash Mouth come through and perform here anytime recently? Or you guys got any cool dick pics?
I've had one where the guy picked me up from the airport. While we're driving to the school, he told me all the comics who turned down the gig.
No. Perfect.
He's like, you know what? I mean, like, we tried to get this person. They turned us down. This person, they were too busy. But you.
You did it for less.
Yeah, you were available. Oh, my God. We were going to give Margaret Cho so much money.
Right.
But you're here. So for the cost of a Starbucks venti latte, we have an activity. This is awesome.
We know you wanted one turkey sandwich, but we didn't get it.
We have a whole cafeteria full of food, but can you just buy like a quick meal plan, like a day meal plan?
And we have a young opening comic that's going to do some time in front of you. He won a contest. He hasn't done it yet. This will be his first time. And then if you don't mind, he's going to go up and do his time, and then we're going to bring somebody else out to do some announcements, and then they're going to bring you up, but with the lowest amount of energy possible, and fuck up your credits. Is that cool? but this was great.
Come on, SNL. No, you haven't.
No, you haven't. You said you like it. Yeah. How do you take that and put it to me being on it?
Yeah. I had a guy once bring me up, and it was like, I gave him the credits and said, this is... He asked for four things. I said, okay, here's two things I've done.
Yeah.
Four is a list I don't need you to do.
No.
I gave him two things. Very, very simple.
Yeah.
He's got Adam Carolla podcast, has a Showtime special.
Yeah.
Great. So he goes on stage and goes, he is Adam Carolla's favorite guest on his podcast. He's on there constantly. Him and Adam hang out. And he goes, and his Showtime special, the number one rated comedy special of all time. I'm like, no one asked you to do that. What the? Like, you just described Bill Burr's credits, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like,
or that's Jeffries. Yeah. Something. Like, or he's
that.
HBO.
Yeah. Like, that's what you're expecting.
Yeah.
And then it's like, so after this epic introduction, here's some guy you've never heard of. Here's some guy that is the worst. It's just like, dude, it's not hard.
And you know, it also helps to be in a city. Like, obviously, we were in Colorado. Were we in Boulder?
We were in Fort Collins.
Fort Collins. So we had to drive, I think, an hour
and
change.
I remember that because the girl was like, oh, FOCO. And I was just like, what?
Wait, the girl that picked us up?
Yeah,
we took a van.
Somebody yelled, like, fuck. FOCO, which was Fort Collins, FOCO. Apparently.
Jesus, it sounds
but
like.
But that's the only reason I remember. I was like, no.
Well, I remember the girl who drove us in the shuttle to the venue, and she, like, almost killed us three times. And then my first 2 minutes was basically being like, it's good to be here. It's actually great to be here because we almost weren't here.
Yeah.
I was like, if you guys want to give it up for Lisa, who's sitting in the front row, who I think learned how to drive an hour ago.
Yeah.
And she was like, I did. It was like, what?
And then we wanted to get dropped off at the movie theater after our show.
Yeah.
So we finished the show. We're like, let's go watch a movie together.
Yeah.
Can you just drop us off at the theater? I don't know. It's like really far away. It was 4.6 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Colorado. Most people run that there daily.
I know, like, how is that far away to you? I mean, we got the ride.
Yeah, there was a lot of back and forth where she's like, I don't know if we can even go. Like, we have the jurisdiction.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, don't use that word like you've used it before. And then she was like, I don't even know if we have the legitimacy to get this far, like, to go out of these boundaries. And we were like, no, just. And I remember we all just in our phones being like, it was such a beautiful collection of everyone just going, nah, I'm sure it's great. Yeah, everyone was just kind of, just do it. Because it's all good. And also, just do it. So just do it. And then it's all good.
Yeah.
But just take us there and stop talking like it's going to be a problem.
I'm so much trouble.
Oh, cool. Well, I guess we don't care because you almost killed us. So we can just bring that up to whoever.
Just
take us to the movies.
So when you ran four red lights, that's not going to get you in trouble. Yeah. But because you want to take us to see Fern Gully 5, that is like
Black Mass.
Well, we saw Black Mass, actually.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It was.
Love that movie.
It might not have been right for that night.
We were a little stoned and had played, and Beth had just
in Colorado.
Yeah. And Beth,
what?
Beth had just beat
unheard
me.
Of.
I think 4 out of 6 air hockey games. So my confidence is low. So I'm going into this movie being like, "There's a lot of pressure on you, Black Mass, to turn my night around."
And then it didn't. It was very
well. It was just.
It's not a bad movie at all. It was good.
I think what we needed was a comedy.
We should have seen Inside Out.
Yeah, Inside Out, American Pie 3.
That was there. And was it your fault?
I might have picked Black Mass. But you wanted to see it too.
I really did. I heard such good things. I just think we were having a fun old time.
And, listen, the same way
a lot of murder.
A lot of murder out of nowhere. Yeah. God. Yeah.
I can enjoy just about any movie. Like, you name the dumbest movie I ever made. If I go in there with that proper mindset, great. I'll enjoy it. But the same way, like, yeah, if you're in a super silly, fun, we just played air hockey mood, you don't want to be like Johnny Depp doing that scene where, because he gave up the family recipe too quickly, now he's like accusing him of being a rat. Like, that was insane.
Is that what it was? Is that what the story was?
Yeah, he's like, you just told me that you would never give up your grandmother's recipe. I asked 2 questions, and then you did.
Yeah.
What makes me think?
Oh, yeah, that was a great scene.
Yeah, when
Depp was great. Remember that?
He was. And I will say this. There was only a few times where I could really lose him. Because I could always see him. It's hard to picture Johnny Depp, Pirates of the Caribbean.
When somebody's that famous.
As a white, Irish.
Right.
Old mob guy.
Old gangster. Boston, like albino.
Yeah, exactly.
Gangster. Yeah, exactly.
But the hair and makeup was excellent.
They killed it on
that
front.
You can never take that for granted. I remember... I don't know why this popped in my head, but what was it? Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
When they had to age
them.
When they had to age them, and it felt like they just like put on a coat and like was a little gray in their eyebrows. I was like, what? He has a 17-year-old daughter. What? Yeah. Who's in charge of this makeup?
Yeah,
even like a baby powder in his face would have been
better. Of course. Something.
He looks not older.
Yeah. You can just like have him say a line with like, I can't believe it's 20 years later.
Yeah,
I know. Like, don't just have a kid like that.
I know. Anyway, the makeup was good.
Now, your air hockey skills impressed me.
Thank you. Also, I played field hockey in high school and college.
What?
But that has nothing.
Does that translate?
To do.
I didn't know. Like, I'd be like, hey, I was good. I was good at pop a shot, so that means I can play bocce ball. Like, I don't know what.
No,
is that the same skill set?
Make sense, Brad.
Just the name.
Hey, I'm a professional bowler. Well, I'm not, but I do hold the world record in ski ball. So I'm pretty sure I could do that.
Okay,
no problem.
We get it, Brad.
We get it, Brad. You've done cool stuff.
God.
I don't know if you've heard of this place called Chuck E. Cheese.
I haven't been there forever.
I don't know if I'm name dropping right now, but
I don't want to get scabies.
I just love the fact that if I walked into a Chuck E. Cheese right now and hopped in the ball pit, there would be zero objection.
Yeah, I love that too, actually.
That is pretty friggin' solid.
Yeah.
And then I could go in there and make believe I'm in a UFC fight and just start chucking kids. And I can get the revenge of all the times where I got stuck in the ball pits before. Because, you throw a midget in a ball pit, it's really hard to get out.
Yeah. It's hard to get out just if you're not a midget.
Yes!
Yeah. Those things are tricky. The consistency of the balls all rubbed together like that.
Also,
and we will be isolating the audio of that last sentence and posting it online. What I just said. The consistency of the balls all rubbed together like that.
Okay.
Was Adam on a podcast or on a cruise ship?
That's going to be my new ringtone.
In gymnastics, you train on a bar, like to do some of your flips on parallel bars into a pit of foam cubes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Similarly, very difficult to get out of.
They do that at the trampoline parks too.
Yeah.
You've done
so
that?
Hard to get it because you're like, boom, and you're wedged down
and you're
in
just
there.
Stuck.
And you're like, well.
Have you ever been stoned in one of those foam pits?
No.
You will have a panic attack.
Really?
Yep. It was. Remember that scene in The Labyrinth where Jennifer Connelly's falling down the well and all the hands are grabbing her?
No. I don't think I've seen that movie.
Oh, well, in honor
Maybe
of Bowie,
haven't.
Check
yeah.
it out. It's
okay.
It's amazing.
I think
you would love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get to check it out.
Hey, everybody. It's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. I got a question for you. Do you like taking pictures? Of course you do. Do you like making memories? Of course you do. Have you always wanted to start your own business? Okay, but you just are like, I don't have the money to do it. Well, okay, I got fantastic news. Now you can, okay? You can own your own business that has proven to be a phenomenal success
all over this beautiful country of ours, all right, with very little upfront investment, all right? Some businesses, you got to throw a lot up front to get it going. Not this business. And the business I'm talking about is Selfie Station. I'm sure you've heard of it, okay? It's one of the coolest fucking companies. I've seen it personally at a bunch of parties, events. I went to one of my friends' brother's bar mitzvah, and he had that shit set up, and the Jews were fucking goo goo gaga over it. All right, Selfie Station is a portable touchscreen photo booth that people and businesses book for all sorts of, like, corporate functions. They use it for trade shows, proms, promotional events, parties, like I said, bar mitzvahs, and so many more things. Selfie Station, basically, it captures the memories that you want to last your entire life, and as soon as you capture them, okay, they can be emailed, texted, printed right there, personalized, and even uploaded right to social media. Social media, social media. You won't believe, okay, how many people will pay you to make your business, Selfie Station, the life of their party, man. It's the easiest income you'll ever earn, and it pays for itself in no time, okay? So start your own business right now, and let Selfie Station be the picture taker, icebreaker, and your money maker. Look, if you want to get a small business going, but you don't have a lot of time and you don't want a lot of risk, this is the opportunity for you, okay? Because the Selfie Station is super easy to use and super easy to set up, okay? Which is means you're going to become a profitable business very quickly if you use the Selfie Station, because you bring the station to the event. It's touchscreen, all right, which is super easy. And once the photos are taken, you can print high-res photos on the spot, or you can post those photos directly, immediately to social media or email them. So, I mean, you know, how many times have you been to a party and you're just like, you take some dope photo and you're like, okay, well, that's on the camera. That's on Greg's super nice camera. So when we get home, we'll upload that to Facebook. And yeah, I know, I'll tag you in it, Gracie. And then the girl walks away and goes, I'm not going to tag that bitch. I hate her. I don't know who invited her. So you get these photos right on the spot, which is the best. It's a great way to make extra cash or find a new line of work, okay? Well, a lot of us are going through these times in our lives. We're like, what do I want to do? I don't know if I want to do it. Dude, when I left Wolverine at Universal Studios Hollywood, I got fired. Thanks for bringing it up. Even I was a little in limbo. Like, what? I'm looking for some new opportunities, you know, before our stand-up really takes off for me. Had I known about Selfie Station, maybe I would have gotten involved. But guess what? You don't have to wait. You can get involved right now. And as a special introductory offer, okay, if you sign up and get this business going right now, you're going to get $500 off the professional package. $500 off, man. All right. All you got to do is go to selfiestationpodcast.com, type in ALN, okay, which means about last night, type in ALN so we can get some credit for it. All right. That's selfiestationpodcast.com, selfiestationpodcast.com, promo code ALN, and start being the fucking party starter that people always thought you were, but you just didn't have the money to do it. All right. Do it. Do it. So field hockey, how do you...
Yeah.
Why were you interested in that? What got you
my
into it?
My sisters played.
Nice.
And so then I just followed in their footsteps.
So you just want to be like
my sister.
Your big
still sister. Coaches the high school team at our high school in Ohio.
No shit.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
There you go. And then so you have the team sports and the field hockey. How are you funny the whole time? Are you always interested in stand up?
Yes. I was like the class clown. I got voted class clown. So I was always. There you go. But I was also a good student. So
I'm reading. We have a little cheat sheet right here of facts. And
it's 5, 8, 1, 6.
Well, Paul sent us most of your info.
Measurements are. No.
Paul from Tennessee. That was a reference to the dick pig guy. Okay.
Yes.
Just in case you forgot his name.
Okay. Yeah. We got the. It was a good joke, Adam.
Pussy diameter.
Yeah, but. her capable dilation is what? How does that is? But like, what's a magna cum laude?
Oh, sure, yes.
That's
top
like
of the glass.
That's holy really shit. Smart.
And well, where Miami U, right?
Miami U, and it was a liberal arts school, and I studied theater. But because it's liberal arts, you have to take. That's the point. You got to take things outside of your major. So it's not like I was just constantly reading plays in a massage circle, acting like a giraffe.
Boy, those theater kid massages. We loved those massages, didn't we?
I mean,
that was everyone?
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Everyone figured that out in theater?
Oh,
that's
come
like,
on,
oh,
dude.
So while the director's doing stuff, then we could just get like a little massage
dude.
Train going.
Oh,
everyone did that?
Come
okay.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just a Fullerton Children's Repertory Theater thing, but apparently not.
Wait, did you study theater?
Oh yeah, that's all I did, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where?
USC. I was in the BFA school out here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I mean, that's all I did. I mean, in high school, it was all musicals. And then
High school musicals as well. Yeah. What was your musicals in high school?
Oh, man. Well, I quit football to play Danny Zuko in Grease my sophomore year.
Of course you had to.
And I wrote
my college essay
on that. Yeah. It was like, I mean, I've told the story on the podcast, but it was a big deal because, I mean, football, I was never going to play professionally. Basketball was my sport. Uh-huh. But football was fun. All my buddies were doing it. And I was, you know, just a good athlete and was doing all the camps and everything. And the offensive lineman, who was a senior, I was a sophomore at the time, got injured. And so I was going to start varsity. And my coach had made me sophomore captain, all these expectations. And in my head, I'm just like, this is cool, but like, I don't really I'm going to probably play high school football and that'll be it. And then I'd done the plays freshman year, and the director of the fall play was like, we're going to do Grease, and I just want to make sure that you're auditioning for Danny Zuko. Not saying you're going to get it, but I think you would be great. And I was like, and the plays in my community.
I love that she planted the seed.
At the high school.
Or he, I don't know.
They were he. Feminine. And the plays were a big deal at my high school. So, like, we went in on excursions, field trips.
But where was high school?
Seattle.
Okay, got it.
So we went for field trips in elementary school to see these plays because they were just amazing productions. So now to potentially have a lead, because I had supporting roles freshman year, I was like, oh, man, this would be amazing, and that sounds way more fun. So
and
I eventually
getting
told
a concussion.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. I eventually told the coach.
For no reason.
Yeah. I can't. I'm not going to have time to memorize the playbook this year because I'm going to memorize the lyrics to Grease Lightning.
Pansy!
Oh, he used some choice words. And then came with his kids to the last matinee of the whole run and like looked at me and was like, hey, you're pretty good. And I was like, and his kids were all about it. And he was like, yeah, you're pretty good. He's like, just don't be singing and like fucking shit at practice. And then he would say stuff like during basketball, because he's a basketball coach too, where he would be like,
oh boy.
He'd be like, I'd screw up a play and be like, sorry, I don't have a script for this fucking play, Adam Ray.
He held the grudge.
Oh, he was good. Well,
I love a mean coach. That's the only way I
And
operate.
Funny. Dude, he would yell at the two Indian kids when they would miss three pointers and be like, what is it, fucking Ramadan? Like, and he would just say, I mean, he had something for everybody.
So you can't do the pick and roll, but I bet if I told you could step ball change, you'd just master that one.
Pretty much, dude. Shout out to Greg Ticone.
I mean, they got to be creative. Totally. I remember my field hockey coach be like, my grandma can run faster than that, and she's dead. Oh. And you'd be like, what?
Oh, God.
It's like, I don't want to see that on a scientific curiosity thing. Like, how does a dead woman run faster than me?
What came first for you, though? The good student or the class clown?
Oh, I guess I was always pretty good in school. I think I probably had some sort of undiagnosed ADD situation happening, but it was always good grades and then talks too much.
Right. And would you try to make,
like, I wasn't an evil kid, but I disrupted class constantly because when you can do it with laughs, though, it's more easily forgiven.
Of course.
If you're just like biting the teacher and like punching your glasses off her face and then you're not making any of it funny, that's not good.
What would you do? How would you get like universal applause?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of specific things.
Like little funny lines.
Yeah.
Or like,
I think I would just talk out of turn and add little tags to things. And
what you forget too is that not every kid was funny.
No.
So I think that's why too, like when we're like, I don't know what I did that was actually special. It was just, I did it.
Yes.
You know, like, and they're,
yeah,
other
I mean,
kids
I
would
loved
say it.
That.
Yeah.
I just wanted great attention.
Were your teachers like, Beth, you're fucking hilarious, but you got to shut the fuck up?
Yeah, some of them, and then others were just like less forgiving. I remember one really put me through it in fifth grade. It was Pioneer Day, and we all dressed up like pioneers on the frontier land. My mom let me bring her camera in or something, and I was like disrupting the class, and I was like, we got to get a group photo.
Yeah.
And she had told us, her mistake, that she didn't like her profile. And so I definitely got a photo of her profile when she wasn't looking. Like, you know, like a little shitbag. And that was when you had to wait a week or whatever for the pictures to come back. So, like, I didn't get in trouble that day. It was when they came back that she was like, I'm going to need those photos. And I was like, her husband was a police officer.
Yikes.
And I'm not kidding you. She, like, was like, this is a serious offense. I could press charge it. Like, I'm in fifth grade.
Easy grader.
Easy lady. My mom was, like, not impressed. My mom's a teacher, too, an elementary school music teacher. And so
you didn't write Red Rum with the blood of the class hamster.
Exactly.
Jesus.
But it was intense. And that, I remember just, like, the fear of going to school. And, like, it was just, it'd be different, too, if I, like, put it up her skirt.
Yes.
Or something like that.
But yeah, it was something illegal.
She felt ugly.
But,
she didn't like her profile. And
but
I took advantage.
Yeah, I didn't know that pointing out someone's double chin was a misdemeanor.
Exactly. And so then I had to like tutor, like to make up for it. It wasn't just attention. I had to like tutor her daughter or something like that.
To make up for it.
Yeah.
How about maybe you do a sit-up and then the side profile isn't as bad?
Right. I just like...
Son of a bitch. You're a fifth grader, for God's sake.
I know. It was upsetting.
I don't know why I'm getting so passionate about this.
Because
but
I was too at the time. I remember like kind of living in fear. You're just like, I'm so scared to go to school. I don't want to... You know... I was just trying to be funny.
Yeah, school's scary enough.
It was harmless, you know.
Yeah. Well, how did you, so your mom is a that's awesome.
Elementary music.
Oh my God! Yeah. That can
she's
I tell
a
you?
Very good pianist.
Is she?
Yeah.
I bet she's the best.
Yeah, she's a wonderful lady.
That is one of the most underrated and most influential positions in the school system.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never forget my elementary musical teacher, and one of my buddies does it now, and it's just like, man, because that can be.
It's so important for growth.
Totally.
And also, they have my mom has classes with the special ed kids too, and it's like she has so many great stories, but yeah, one of the autistic kids, she played Louis Armstrong for them. What a Wonderful World. And he started crying. He doesn't really speak or anything like that, but
he's nonverbal.
He cried a little bit.
Just from like how beautiful the song was.
To the song.
Yeah,
it's like, it's important to give them a break from the class studies and have them experience
and
music.
And it's a universal language and that, and like you say, it's not the intensity of school. And if you can be that teacher that sparks that kid to the bit, that then like, oh wow, this music thing's really cool, and then they could go into that. Like, you hear so many stories about rock stars that had that musical teacher that really kind of got them into it, and now like your mom has that opportunity to be that person. So when there's a really hit album in like 10 years, we can thank your mom.
Yeah, for Diane.
Go Diane.
And your dad, what does he do?
Uh-oh.
Do you know or no?
I heard, but I don't know the full stuff. And I
don't know, so I'm very curious.
Do you have the web available?
I have the web available.
Okay,
yeah.
I was going to say, if you go to starsoncall.com.
Starsoncall.com.
Yeah, that's my dad. He
spelled like it sounds. Mm-hmm,
yep.
Stars.
Yep. It should be a Z if we're being real, but yeah, it's just Stars on Call.
I wasn't around for the business consoles, but.
So he dresses up in different costumes. Yep.
Brad just saw it.
Stands on street corners, and he calls them live roadside commercials or character directionals.
Oh,
so if you call
God.
My dad, like he's a leprechaun in front of the Carryman Irish Pub in Orlando. He's like a fairly offensive portrayal of a Mexican in front of Tijuana Flats, which he's been doing for 19 years. It's on them at this point.
Oh, my God.
A gorilla, a slice of pizza. I've been woken up by a slice of pizza. It was my dad.
That's the name of your next album.
I've been woken up by a slice of pizza.
Wait a minute. So he had to purchase all these costumes.
Yes. So it used to be a costume closet. Then it was a costume room, and now it's the garage. And people will walk in all the time, strangers, thinking he's having a garage sale. It's just costumes wall to wall.
Why did the costumes exist in the first place?
So why did they exist? He started collecting them for this business.
Oh, okay. So that was okay.
Yeah. So
I don't know if he had an improv troupe and he was like, a slice of pizza, a Mexican guy, and an Irish leprechaun.
No, but so people will call him up and, you know.
So like, let's say
that's incredible.
Run a pita rest, like a
maybe
pita
he'll show
pit.
Up as a cucumber or a or a pita square or corner.
Yeah.
Pita triangle.
Yeah. Wow. And then he like dances out front or holds the sign.
Yeah, what do you get? What do you get with the costume? What's a presentation?
It's, you know, I think a lot of people picture somebody out in front of a, you know, like the Liberty Tax guy or a kid listening to earbuds like spinning a subway sign.
Yeah.
My dad is like taking it to a whole new level. He's like losing his goddamn mind. There's high kicks and pelvic thrusting and raising the roof.
I
want to
see
yelling,
a thrusting pizza slice.
Lots of yelling.
Way too much.
Oh, he has a video of him being a leprechaun on that site.
Why did you point to Brad?
Yeah,
why did
you point at me? You're like, hey, like you would like this. You. This is something you're interested in. He's a leprechaun, so I feel like
you'll
you and
like
him kind of have
Adam,
this
Adam is a rabbi.
Experience.
He'll dress up like a rabbi.
He's a Jew sometimes. He'll dress up like a
dad. Adam, you remember what that's... Oh, no, you don't, because it was just you and your mom. But...
no, on the website, if you click that link, it should lead you to leprechaun video.
And I heard you say, too, that when he dressed up as Santa...
Yes,
and
I would sometimes be his elf.
How is that fun?
Yeah.
First taste of performing?
It was a first taste of Hollywood.
Who is Howie the Hawaiian?
Who's to know? Some of those aren't really existing.
He has names.
Yeah.
Bella the Belly Dancer?
Mm-hmm.
Blue, the Blue Blues brother.
I tried to get him to call the pirate Arge. And he changed it to...
Wait, I'm trying to find it. What is it?
Glitter.
Glitter the pirate?
That... Yep, there it is.
Named after the Mariah Carey romper of a comedy, Glitter?
Probably.
Glitter the Pirate sounds like the worst, like, off-the-strip Vegas show
I'm so mad.
Ever.
Arge is great.
Arge is great. Beth, you knew what you were doing with that one.
Yeah.
Why did he name Santa's elf Nigel?
Well, I don't know. That's actually oddly enough, and they don't talk to each other at all, my mom's dog's name.
Really?
Yeah, but we would dress, so he would pay us, like, he makes a lot of money per hour. He would pay us to be his elf around Christmas, $50 an hour.
Sure.
And
like when he plays Fuego the Fireman.
That's in front of Firehouse Subs.
My God.
Yeah.
Who is Chef Big Butt?
Isn't that amazing? I love
no
Chef Big
way.
Butt. The best one. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you who Chef he is. He's been the arch nemesis to Chef Boyardee for years. Boyardee was always like, I'm trying to get this beefaroni off the ground, but Chef Big Butt has his own line of pasta with meat sauce.
So Mario has Wario, and Chef Boyardee has Chef Big Butt.
This is brilliant, by the way. So how old were you
when these names are insane.
Yes. How, I guess I'm 30 now, and it's been around for at least 20 years.
So when you're Carmen Miranda Gorilla?
All right, stop blowing my mind with these characters and let me fucking get to some questions. I want to know how, unless you find another Fuego
Chef
the Fire.
Chef Big Butt's basically the best one.
Let's just stop all
you
conversation.
You peaked at Chef Big Butt.
But in fact, when I tell a joke about it, I say, my dad will be like, Sarah's on call, this is Bert. Yeah, you want Chef Big Butt from 3 to 5? No problem. I'll send a man out. Always him. Nobody else works for the company.
He takes the calls. He draws up the paperwork.
Right. And
he
so
puts
after
on
a
the
while,
boots.
Yes. Yeah. After a while, they'll be like, Bert, it's always you. And he said, I just want to give you the best.
Oh, my God.
Good comeback.
Genius. Now, as a kid, and you see this business coming together, mm-hmm. I mean,
all right,
you told
me to stop you if I found another good one.
God damn you.
Sergeant Hamburger Hill.
All right. That's the last one you get.
That's like that's the hamburger.
What is this, At Midnight? Come on.
That's like the hamburger helper's cousin. Like,
should be an At Midnight category. Best Selling's dad's characters.
Are you What? Brilliant idea, and not like he needs the plug, but like I bet he'd be flattered.
I know,
right? But okay, so are you?
Sorry,
so
back.
When this is,
oh, when I'm little,
does it blow your mind? Are you inspired? Are you embarrassed?
Yeah, you know, I think because he also wears really weird clothes. Always has like practice jerseys, clam digger pants. Okay. He has like
well,
over
this guy
the
sounds
top,
like my favorite guy of all
Oakley
time.
Oakley sunglasses he wears that are meant for skiing. He lives in Orlando. he calls them X-ray, but. So we would walk around and, you know, anywhere we'd go, people are staring at my dad. And so I'm a comic, and at that age, I just mostly love the attention. And then it would give me a little attitude, too. I'd be like, what are you staring at? Take a picture. It lasts longer. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I liked being like, he's my dad. Yeah. You know,
good
stop
for you.
Staring at us.
That's awesome.
So it was never like a deep embarrassment or anything like that. I think there were some times where it was like, a roll of the eye or like, come on, Dad, Jesus, stop talking, let's go.
And would he ever approach you when you guys, like, when it was all gone and go like, now look, Beth.
If you play your cards right. Well,
so fun. Someday Chef Big Butt could be yours. Well, no, like, would he say like, now look, we're going to go out and people might look at the way I'm dressed or whatever.
No, he
like,
doesn't have that self-awareness.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did
he
ever?
He's not completely
aloof.
Gone, but like, it's... No.
Did Chef Big Butt ever pick you up from school?
No.
Okay.
No. Just woken up by a slice of pizza, driven places.
Driven. I mean, there's got to be some instance where maybe he had to come pick you up at the principal's office and do parent-teacher conference as Fuego the Firehouse.
Yeah. Well, Firehouse Subs came later. Oh, he is a, what else has he done? I'm trying to think of some excellent tint. He's a surfer dude, I think.
I mean, is he Pierre Le Frenchman?
I think he's definitely done that one, but...
He has Fat Lady, fat spelled P-H-A-T.
Interesting. How did he know about that? How did he know that's how you spell fat?
How do we get James Lipton to interview Bert Selling and all his, like, can I talk to Chef Big Butt? You know, like, what?
Can I talk to Pierre?
What is Sergeant Hamburger Hill's favorite cuss word?
I think you need to do this.
What are we, Chuck? Ground Chuck.
That's amazing.
That's yeah. Awesome.
There's a one-man show in there somewhere. Yeah. Or a book, right?
I do have a script about me taking over the family biz.
Come on. I love it. And
we just got to get me famous, guys, and then somebody don't make it. Well, they can't take risks.
After this podcast, I do believe it's going to shoot you right at the top. Conan, maybe, at midnight. I mean, I guess, but the About Last Night podcast is the new staple of our industry.
Yeah. Can I use this as my credit?
Yes.
She's always on the About Last Night podcast. She's best friends with them. Yeah. They love her. They hang out regularly.
They actually had a threesome all together. It was kind of awkward.
A lot of drippy wax.
A lot of damp dudes. A lot of super droopy balls. She loves their candles. Give it up for Beth.
Stunning.
Out of all your TV appearances, do you have a favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like being on TV?
Yeah, I do like it.
You've done Edmund a bunch. Does it get old?
No. It's fun. I think
you still get up for.
There's still always that. There is always still nervous energy.
Good.
Yeah. You can see me like I laugh all the time because I'm like on that show, and then you see my stand up and I'm like, hey guys. Pretty chill.
Yeah.
So I guess my favorite like stand-up performance is not perfect. Well, I like my half-hour special I'm happy
yep,
with.
Your half-hour
okay, let me actually I just like start going through everything. I'm like, it's so hard to choose. I'm pretty much perfect. Nah.
I've done so much in this business. I mean, I'm quite revolutionary.
If I have to think about it, like, because I was going to say Pete Holmes. I really like that late night set.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice and myself.
It's
and
great.
I have some nice jokes.
It's well lit.
My closer, I don't like drawing attention to the things I don't like because then people are going to scrutinize those things. But so start to finish, most comfortable, closest to now, I'd say that Showtime special. It was Comedy of South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. I hosted it with Todd Glass. We shot it at last South by Southwest. And he and I sort of did all the interstitials, and then there's about five comics. It was my set opened it, Mark Normand, W. Kamau Bell hosted the actual show.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Eliza Schlesinger, Matt Bronger.
Nice.
I hope I'm not forgetting anybody, but yeah. And then there was an episode too with like Rachel Feinstein and a lot of other people.
Powerhouse.
Yeah. So that is my favorite because I'm just like it looks like you're at a show. It was at North Door, and it just looks like you're at a local show that you would see me at.
Right.
As opposed to, like, I'm happy with my Comedy Central special, but I'm more like, this is the special.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So.
And one of the things I love about you is it's not something where for some comics you could be like, okay, you know him or her from this show that they've done. Like, you've done so much in this business and then excelled at those things.
Thank you.
Which is really cool to be like, hey, maybe at midnight, maybe just lately, maybe this show. Like, it's like. All these things are coming together for you, and no matter where people see you, they're going to see a great performance and a great show, and that's one thing I love.
Thank you.
Do you set out to?
That's so nice.
Wow, Brad, Jesus!
You trying to fuck?
You trying to fuck, Brad?
I mean, yeah. I mean, at first, I wasn't trying to fuck, but now I'm definitely trying to fuck. Is that a new game show? You trying to fuck?
Dude, it should be.
Oh, you fine as hell.
Please make you trying to fuck a game show.
I know.
So this guy
and you win
said,
a you win a damp do if you win the
you win like a free one of my dad's roadside commercials.
Wow. Okay. Well, are we talking about great prizes? Because I think we are.
This guy said that he wanted to come over and fix this woman's plumbing. So Beth, he trying to fuck?
No, I think she really had a clogged drain.
Okay.
No, he would definitely try to fuck.
Yeah. When you got out here from Chicago, did you, obviously we all have like goals of like, I want this, you know, I want this. Did everything that has happened, I mean, and you've opened for what's like Sarah Silverman and Jeselnik and Patton. Mm-hmm. Did you come out here with all those things? You came out from the Just for Laughs Festival, right?
Yes.
That's what propelled you to move?
Yeah.
And so then you're riding this high from that and you're like, or were you just very like, all right, I'm going to work hard and then things will happen when they happen?
Yeah, I think I've always been, it feels like I woke up and I am 30, but it felt like I woke up and I was 30 because I've been doing it for, 8 years, which is a long time and not a lot in stand-up world.
Yep.
But I felt like I was just very head down, keep going. It was just like next, whatever I'm working on, just like keep going, you know? So, but I have always set goals. When I moved, I think it was opening for those people like Patton and Jeselnik and Sarah would be like, that was like so cool to be able to do that. I remember setting the goal of wanting to perform at Largo. Like that was a really big deal to me.
Mm-hmm. And you have.
Yeah. I'll be there next week with Pete Holmes on Wednesday.
Also a guest of this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the man.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think what else? I like a late night. That was, That was definitely one of my goals. I've gotten to do that.
And then once you got kind of, did you find that once you kind of did like a late night or whatever, like then you, like when do you feel like you're, because you are universally loved. I mean,
thank you.
Yeah. And I don't know if anybody, I think we all on a certain level set out for like you want to,
yeah.
you want to be respected by obviously your fans, but like your peers yes. is very important.
I've always, mm-hmm. I mean, yes.
And how,
fans is the greatest thing of all time. You watch, you know, I remember the first time watching, not this wasn't maybe the first time, but I remember seeing Hannibal when I first moved at Meltdown. And all he said was like, and I rented a car. And everybody was like, ah! And I was like, oh, that's what fans is.
Yeah.
You know, you see that moment where you're like, that's cool. And then there's obviously a downside to that, which you're like, well, what is funny anymore? Because everybody just loves me.
Yeah.
Either way. I think that, you know, when you first move, you're like, I just would love people to love me, but I like being a comics comic. I like when comics like being around you.
What do you think you contributes and what would you like to a young comedian who's trying to come up, like,
yeah.
that, what do you say it, as far as like, because, you know, people love your stand-up, they love you, they so
like, so then a lot of people's argument is like, why LA and everyone's so fake? And so I always respond to that kind of like, well, first of all, isn't that a great problem to have that everybody's too nice? And second of all, you can sense when someone's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you don't like it, then just keep them at an arm's length.
Yeah.
And be nice and still have respect for yourself. You don't have to put yourself out there too much, you know?
Right. And what a great world where someone could be very nice to you, but then not like you. It's like, I'd much rather that than a guy, hey, you fuck piece of shit. I fucking hate your act.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's hacky.
Yeah.
And then they leave.
Go to New York for a week.
Yeah. I could do that. Or you could be in LA where it's like, yeah, you made a lot of interesting choices there, and I thought that was very brave and very cool. All right, I'll see you next time. And then, you know, you go back to their Twitter, they're like, Brad Williams sucked ass. But, you know, it's just like, it's like, hey,
it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's a great problem to have.
And you can sift it out. And like the other thing we mentioned earlier, which is just like, if to a young comic, it's like, you got to do what you think is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it might take longer, and it might take people a longer time to get on board with you.
Sure.
But you're going to be happier, obviously, if you do that.
Have you had those moments? I'm sure we all have, where you were just like questioning you were at, like 3-4 years in, wanting more than you had, but being like, maybe I should try something different.
Yes, even going back to the goal setting thing, I there are some people who like I feel like take what's theirs, and it took me a long time to call myself a comic when I first started. You have the comics that are like, I'm a stand up comic, I hit it like this, I've been doing like 2 years, and you're like, and I took so long to be like, well, I've been doing it, but I have two other jobs, and I've just been trying stand-up comedy, you know, so it took me a while to even do that, so it's harder for me to set the bigger goals,
mm-hmm.
and even still, I'm trying to get myself to do that, where I'm like, no, I can have a show, I can make a good show, like if I wanted to do a TV show, so even with my half-hour special, I wanted to do that, but it's hard to get those things, when you say I want it, it makes it very real, and you have to believe in yourself a certain amount.
When did you start calling yourself a comic and be like, yes, I'm
I bet it was
I'm
probably 3 years in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
so and I'm not saying I never did before, but if somebody was like, what do you do? And I'm handing them their coffee.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm a barista, and
right.
I do stand-up if you want to come to a show tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It's when you recognize the full commitment on your part.
I was going on the road. I was trying to get into NACAs. I was, you know, doing that horse shit. So,
I would love to hear from your, really quickly, I'm going to do something that Barry Katz, Brad's manager and host of the Industry Standard Podcast, does, where he mentions somebody's name and then they just say a couple things about them. But I want to hear just from the people you travel with. Sarah Silverman.
Very generous and kind. I mean,
she seems
great.
That way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you do a lot of dates with her?
No.
Yeah.
No. I think the last time I was with her was at Tig's wedding. And me, Aparna, Nancherla, and her, it was just very nice. You don't get to spend time. I'm not like a friend of hers, so we don't hang out here.
Mm-hmm.
But we all went to lunch, and she got us lunch. And she's like, guys, I'm rich. Just let me.
Appreciate the honesty, and Sarah. Like, and yes, you are.
Like, yeah, okay, thanks. We'll let you do that.
Patton Oswalt.
He's got my back.
I like
in a
that.
Very serious way.
I love that.
Yeah,
I like
he's got
that.
My back.
Good. Kristen Schaal.
But I don't want to be so cheesy. Like, these are just like blanket things.
They say, yeah.
Yeah. Kristen, supportive. You know, like, I think sometimes you think, are women nice to each other, this sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. She's, you know, not, it's not any sort of like competitive thing. It's the minute she saw me, she was like, you should come do my show with me in San Francisco at Sketchfest. And
the one you just did.
That was actually a couple years ago with her. But she had just seen me, and she was like, come with me. And that when people, like, do those things, that's when those myths get, you know,
yeah.
demystified.
Do you try to take note, by the way, of things like that when people, because you also strike me as someone who, as they climb up, is going to throw bones to people and help
absolutely.
And just be,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Because why? Because
yes.
why not?
Yeah. And, yeah, not inaccessible. You know what I mean? She'll talk to you, share a conversation. She's, yeah, sweet.
Rob Delaney.
He is so complimentary. Like, he makes me feel good. Like, when I open for him, he's like, come on, you're better. Get out there. You know what I mean? He's just like,
by the way, I love the smile for our listeners who obviously can't see you. When he said Rob Delaney, this huge smile
yeah.
came over your face. And I love that because
I haven't seen that smile since you talked about my candles, quite yeah. honestly. So
I've had a horrible time.
Yeah. And that guy's dick. I mean, it was the same smile. Same smile.
Yeah. He's just, yeah.
Does he, because you're active on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, do you ask the quote-unquote, you know, king of Twitter?
He is the king of Twitter.
Right? Do you, I mean, does he?
I never ask, but he'll gift me every now and then a retweet, and which is nice. He looks out for me, too.
That's
like,
awesome.
He'll kind of, you know, he champions me. Also, he was probably one of the first, like, people I got to open for, like, in a theater, like a big theater.
Big game-changing moment.
And that was incredible. Yeah.
That's one of those things that I don't know if it's a goal. I mean, sure, it is a goal that you just, I mean, everyone has because you understand how much cooler that is than the shows that you're doing regularly. But what was your, that was your first theater experience?
Yeah, and my mom and my sister drove up. It was at the Athenaeum Theater in Chicago.
Wow.
And my mom and my sister
too.
Drove. Yeah,
that's
and he
great.
Knew too. I had started there, so he's like, you want to yeah. come? And it was near the holidays.
How many people?
I don't know how many that theater seats. At least 1,000.
Yeah, that's great.
But that was just so cool. And, you know, it took care of me. And also, I try to give it back. Obviously, it's not as powerful. But, yeah, his book I loved.
Yeah.
His mm-hmm. book is great. You should check that out.
Kyle Kinane.
he is just like a great hang.
Yeah.
You know?
And we're talking about his penis.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got these drippy balls.
It's a great hang. Like, every time I see it, I'm like, Kyle, that is a great hang.
Yeah. I mean, just so down to earth, keeps it real.
Yeah. That is such a great... I just hung out with him and met him for the first time in Hawaii when he was doing a show out there. And I was out there for Adam Devine's house party. And so I drove down to Honolulu to let me do time on the show. And then I was like, I want to stay down here the night just to hang. And we, like... went to this pizza bar that also had a bar, and we drank and just hung out for like 2-3 hours, and like just the best to shoot the shit with.
Yeah.
So smart.
Yeah.
And so we were like driving to, before we got to the pizza bar, we landed at like 3 different bars, and like just all the joking that was happening in the car ride was like just
it's
like top notch. And at one point I turned on this woman, she was like at the pizza bar, she's complaining and she goes, Kyle was like, how's the pizza? And she was like, oh, it's pretty good. It's okay. And he's like, and I was like, oh, just why okay? And she's like, well, it's the everything pizza, but it's clearly not everything. And he's like, turns back to me, he goes, looks like it's got everything. Pepperoni, meat. What did she want? Like garage door openers on it? Xbox controllers? I was like, Jesus, man.
He's
love
like
that.
Also I don't know what the word would be before the descriptor for leader, but like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but he's like a great leader. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you kind of look at him and
we like
what
to call
done,
it the Brad Williams effect.
Yeah.
He's got a very Brad. Well, sure. Got a very sort of je ne sais Brad Williams about
sure,
him.
Sure, yeah. Sure, sure. Nobody says that.
Exactly.
But
you can kind of look at his work and be like, yeah, that's
totally.
You know what I mean? He's a nice. He's
totally.
A,
mm-hmm.
It's
awesome to be inspired by your peers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Jeselnik.
Oh. He, I would say, I guess, confidant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good friend, mentor. He taught me just like what it's like to get to a theater, handle your business. And he's so kind too. Everybody thinks he's like going to be some asshole, but
it's character.
Yeah. He's so kind. And so, yeah, just basically showed me the ropes from the day to day on a tour because he's the one I did the longest amount of touring with.
Right.
Just city to city. So, yeah, just show me how to confidently go into a place, make sure you get what you need and put on a good show.
Well, and
he taught me how to basically just order all the desserts. So, like, if we've had a great time together, we, like, have booze, we get a steak dinner, and then it's like, let's get one of each.
I love that.
Order all the desserts.
That's amazing. What's your favorite dessert?
I guess I love so many desserts. I'm just going to go with ice cream sundae. But
go.
That's not a typical
a
one
it's
after a,
classic.
A steak meal.
It's
but
fine.
Yeah.
Now, do you go
chocolate
cake? You go fudge, you go bananas in the middle?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll do all of it.
Yeah.
You've been to Jenny's Ice Cream here?
No.
Well, you need to get into it.
Oh, Jenny's Ice Cream?
It started in Columbus, Ohio. I just had some last night. But yeah, so started in Columbus,
throwing
Ohio.
Throwing stuff out for your house. So don't go to Mashty Malone's, because that's that over the seas. Mm-hmm. It's foreigners coming over here and trying
to
do ice cream.
We
want American. Mm-hmm. We want American ice cream.
And if you want to pay $12 for a pint of ice cream, they're going to let you do that.
Is that what happens at Mashty's?
No, at Jenny's.
Oh, Jenny's.
Yeah. And if they have their reasons. It's all like good quality things. Yeah. Also, they had Listeria scares, and the one over on Hillhurst shut down.
Like
two separate times. They shut down the plant, shut down Hillhurst because it had a Listeria scare. Not at that particular location, but at the plant.
Sorry, I'm
and
laughing.
The minute it opened, I was there.
I love...
No qualms about it.
You're like, is
I was
a Listeria
like, this is an opportunity to lose a few pounds if something happens.
I love how Adam Ray's inner fat kid came out when you're like, and then the ice cream place shut down, and he legitimately
with
so much concern was like, oh no, not since he saw like Bambi's mom get shot, spoiler alert, that spoiler. He showed that much concern. It was like, no,
were you a chubby kid?
Yeah, real big.
Yeah, I mean, I was chubby
in my early 20s. Yes, in my feelings. And also, my mom got my grandparents hassled her about weight, so she was like, I'm not going to do it to you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now I joke and I say to her, yeah, mom, you probably should have fucking said something when I was borrowing your bra to go to school. No, that's not so true. Or maybe it is. But,
You by this whole word association thing we just did, that was obviously a lot of great names in the world of stand-up comedy, and you've been associated in some way, shape, or form with all of them, and I want you to tell her there's a reason for that. There's a reason why you've been associated with all these great names is because they, being where they are, also recognize good qualities, and they see that in you, and you absolutely deserve your name needs to be in the conversation with these other people, and I want our listeners to know that if they're not familiar with your work, look it up, enjoy it.
Also, look up Bert Stelling.
You're freaking the sweetest.
All right?
Yeah, my dad's the real unsung hero here.
No. That's why we got you.
Because,
Brad is 1,000% right.
Thank you, guys. That's probably so sweet.
And yeah. I'm really just being nice to you because I want a deal on
you. You draw fun?
Good night, everybody.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.